Hello and welcome to the Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello. How are you?
I've been self isolating this week.
Have you?
Yes. So we're not in the same room again like last week, but this time I really am self isolating because I developed the symptoms.
Right. How badly?
Well, not too badly. I had a bit of a temperature, and I there it is. I've had a bit of a cough.
Oh dear.
And I'm taking the advice seriously because this is a serious matter now. And so I've been locked up in my own house now for 6 days.
And how are you finding it?
It's okay. I don't mind it too much. I've been able to crack on with some stuff in the house. The only thing I don't like is when people like my parents have come to visit, or not visit, but to sort of just check in, they talk to me from the end of the garden path. So it's like I'm some sort of leper. It makes you feel very self-conscious.
Right, I bet. And I know we said in last week's podcast that we were going to not talk about the coronavirus anymore and try and talk about more positive things. But frankly, it's not just what England's talking about. It's what the world is talking about at the moment. And it's all they're talking about. So it's really become impossible to ignore it.
It has, really. And the thing is, right, first of all, we should say thank you for tuning in. We hope we find you fit and well, because this is getting... I've gone through all the phases of this, from going through the, oh, it's just scaremongering, to, perhaps it is something, to now, like, full on, this is big. This is, like, big time shit hitting the fan.
It's like a war.
It is like a war. It's like our wartime.
And I really do feel, although us not being in the same room and recording this isn't ideal, I think it's important that we crack on and still try and get it out there one way or another. Because I think at the moment, more than anything, people do need content to listen to, even if it's a silly podcast like this one. It's just something to help distract you from the scary outside world right now.
Well, especially as I think people are going to be inside their homes a lot, looking for stuff to do. And I feel I've become a little bit cut off from reality this week. I see the pictures of all the supermarkets and stuff, but I've been nowhere near a supermarket. So it almost feels like I'm watching a film. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
And I was talking to someone the other day who knows someone who works in a supermarket. And they were saying that it's just mental. Most people are fine. You know, they're kind of getting used to the fact that things are being rationed by the supermarkets. But get this, right? Because there is a bit of an issue, as you mentioned last week, with alcohol.
Yeah.
So apparently this one man went in and he wanted to buy more than the 2 bottles of whiskey that he was allowed to buy by the supermarket, right? So when he was told that he couldn't buy the 3rd and 4th or however many he had, he wasn't happy, right? So he was kicking off in the supermarket. Now, I mean, I just want to ask you, put yourself in this situation, right? You've gone into the supermarket, you want to buy some whiskey. You buy 3 bottles and they say, I'm really sorry, sir. You're only allowed 2. We're rationing 2 of every product at the moment. What would your reaction be?
My personal reaction would be, oh, okay, I understand that. That's sensible. It's a bit frustrating if I wanted 4 bottles, but yeah, I'll live.
Even if you were a little bit pissed off, what would your reaction be?
If I was a little bit pissed off, I'd keep it to myself. I think at the moment the staff are breaking their backs for us, and the last thing they need is customers being shitty to them for no real reason. So yeah, I think I would just be frustrated but quiet about it.
Right, do you know what this man did?
What?
He decided that the bottles that he couldn't take, he just smashed on the floor.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's the spirit.
I mean, it's like a little child tantrum, isn't it? It's like, well, I obviously can't drink myself to death, so nobody can.
Yeah.
I did hear a couple of nice things about beer, though, because I know you were struggling to get some beer this week, weren't you?
I've struggled today. I went out thinking I'll just go and get 1 box of Carling.
Yeah.
You know, help me out through the week.
Yeah.
Sadly, that was completely cleared out, as was everything, except Strongbow. So tonight I'm on the cider.
Are you?
Yeah.
You're not normally a cider drinker, are you?
I'm not, but, you know, needs must.
Oh, well, the thing about that is, Ben, that if you're not normally a cider drinker, don't drink it to the same level that you would Carling. They're two very different drinks. And, you know, I don't want to hear that you've been pushed over the edge by Strongbow and you've got a bit mental and you've gone feral in East Grinstead.
How much stronger is cider than, say, Carling, for example?
I would say it's a lot stronger. I'm going to look it up, right? I'm going to look up the alcohol percentage of Carling.
Well, I can tell you a bit about the alcohol percentage of Carling because my friend always calls me a girl for drinking it.
Well, I mean, it is like drinking piss, but it's a good session beer.
Yeah, thanks for that.
If you're going to have, you know, a lot, I mean...
Well, Carling says it's 4%. However, I think in truth, it's actually a little bit lower than that. I think it's actually about 3.7%. So we really need to find out what the strength of Strongbow is.
Well, Strongbow's 5%.
Oh, that is quite strong.
So it is quite strong, isn't it? So I reckon if you might have, let's say, in a session of Carling, although you did say that this is to see you through the week, so I'm guessing that you might only have one or two anyway. Yeah, so you might just want to, you know, for every Carling you would have had, have 3/4 of a Strongbow.
Okay, so sort of if I would normally have 4 Carlings, have 3 Strongbow.
Yeah, that's probably a good way of looking at it, yeah.
Okay.
And you should probably ration it as well, because, you know, you might not be able to get any more for a long time, so you might need to ration your Strongbow.
We'll see.
We'll see, okay. Well, two lovely things about beer, right? I read one story of an elderly... I say elderly, that might be a bit harsh, but I think they're in their 70s, so they're following the advice for not going out. And before all the pubs were shut down, because that's the other thing, of course, all the pubs, they've been told to shut down now, so you can't even go to the pub anymore.
Although there seems to be some confusion, I don't want to derail your story, but Boris has told the pubs to close, but has he actually legally enforced that happens yet? Because I think I've heard some pubs, I think in Scotland, are currently, as of recording, still open.
Well, I don't know. You see, there might be a difference with the Scottish thing. Like, he might have jurisdiction over the English pubs. I don't know. That's a political question.
Okay, sorry. Back with your story.
Oh, yeah. Right. So anyway, this pub took a barrel of beer to this elderly couple. So they've got a whole keg now to see them through. What a great gesture that is.
Lovely.
And the other thing is, a friend of mine, on Friday, when the pubs were told to shut, my mate decided to go to his local with some empty bottles of his own in the hope that he could say to them, oh, look, could you fill these bottles up with some booze for me? And they did.
Oh.
So he's now got his own little supply of whatever ale he likes in his house from the pub. He obviously paid for it. I mean, it wasn't, you know, given gratis, but you'd never think they would do that, would you?
No, that's really nice.
That is nice, yeah. I mean, the nearest I've ever got to that was bringing some Strongbow home from a pub in an ice cream container.
Sorry, you brought booze back in an ice cream container?
Yeah, I was in a pub. I was only about 18, 19, something like that, and I was in a pub, and they rang the bell for last orders, and me and my mate, we just thought, well, come on, let's get some booze. And so I think we ordered 2 pints each, already having one to go. So you know, you get 20 minutes drink up time or whatever it was, and there was no way we were going to drink all this Strongbow in the time we had left in the pub. So we thought, well, we can't let it go to waste. So we went to the person behind the bar and said, have you got anything that we could put this in so we could like take it home? And the only thing he had was an old ice cream container. So he poured 4 pints or 5 pints, whatever we had left, of Strongbow into an ice cream container.
I hope he rinsed that out. I mean, I bet that was disgusting.
The thing is, we never drank it.
Oh, I'm glad.
We got home. We didn't want any more drink when we got home, because, you know, that sort of the train journey had dampened our drinking spirits. You know, that happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I put it in the fridge. And we thought, you know, perhaps we'll have it the next day or something. But it lost its appeal to see it floating about in this ice cream container. So it went down the plug hole. But,
good.
You know, the gesture was there from the people behind the bar. So, you know, you've got to give them credit for that.
Yeah, fair play.
Now, considering that we didn't really want to talk about coronavirus this week, but there isn't much else going on, so we do need to talk about it, I thought we'd try and perhaps focus on some of the positives, because, you know, not of the virus, but, you know, the things that people are doing, the kindness that is coming out, because I was getting a little bit disheartened by all the selfishness that I could see, people, you know, going in the supermarkets and all that, and I had a good moan about it last week. I thought, actually, there's a lot of people doing a lot of good, and we've already mentioned the pub taking the keg of beer to the elderly couple.
Yeah.
And I just think there's a lot of these things going on. I mean, Gary Neville this week, did you see what Gary Neville did?
I haven't, no.
So Gary Neville, you know, he owns some hotels.
Yeah.
Well, he's obviously at the moment, the hotel business is suffering. So he's decided to shut the hotel to guests and he's opening every room for NHS workers who might need somewhere to stay that's perhaps a bit nearer to the hospital or wherever they work. And all of his staff are still going to be paid. No one's going to be laid off. They're all going to be paid. They'll all continue working in the hotel. But even if they can't work in the hotel, they're still going to be paid. And I thought, do you know what? Good on you, Gary Neville. That's a great gesture. I was never a fan of him playing for Man United. You know, I've still got that prejudice, even when he's talking on Sky Sports. It's like, oh, it's Gary bloody Neville.
Yeah. Must admit, I do feel the same. He tends to irritate me in general, but tell you what, good lad. Well done.
Yeah, I think he's a nice bloke.
Yeah.
I genuinely think he's a nice bloke. I was talking to a mate of mine. We ended up talking about Richard Branson.
Yeah.
Richard Branson, I don't know what he's worth, right? He's worth a lot of money.
I'll look it up.
Okay. And you know, he's asked his staff, I said this was going to be a positive bit, but I just need to get this off my chest, right? he wants his staff to take unpaid leave, essentially.
For 8 weeks. 8 weeks unpaid.
Now, this man, you're going to look up what he's worth, right? It's not even like the plane industry is the only thing he makes money from. And I know, like, you know, the accountants will be saying, well, you can't move money from one business to another. Well, pay it out of your own pocket then, mate. Do you know what I mean? You own a fucking island. You can afford to pay your staff. And as much as I applaud his plans of space tourism and expanding going to space, yeah, put that on hold for a minute, mate. The money you must be pumping into that, give that to people who don't have a tad of what you've got. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think you're being very harsh on Richard Branson. I mean, I've just looked him up.
Yeah.
And to be fair, he is only worth $3.5 billion.
Oh, he's struggling. You know, he is struggling, isn't he? He is struggling.
He really is.
Yeah, I was being arse there, wasn't I? Yeah, I'm sorry, Richard Branson. Anyway, back to some other acts of kindness. This was the one that really melted my heart, right? I'm a bit of a sucker when it comes to a nice little story like this. This was just someone who was in a queue at Asda and just saw this unfold in front of him. He said, I saw a lad at Asda, about 13 or 14, and he put his final two bags of pasta in his basket and then realised an older lady who was trying to buy some would go without. So promptly put them in her trolley and said, you need them more than me, love. And then told his mum they'd sold out. I mean, that's the sort of thing we need, isn't it? That's the sort of attitude we need.
That's lovely. I've been out on delivery this week and I can see firsthand.
Because you're now a key worker. We should probably make that clear.
Yeah, I'm considered a key worker. So I've got to carry on. And I was out on delivery this week and I happened to see there's a very elderly couple who I deliver to. And I saw a teenage girl approaching their front door. She left a bag of groceries outside the front door, knocked on it and walked away. And I thought, that's really sweet.
You see, there is some goodness coming out of this. And the other thing, of course, you see, do you want to hear my little theory about the coronavirus?
Yes, doctor, let's hear it.
Let me preface my theory by telling you that I was having a conversation with a previous guest on the podcast, Mr. Conspiracy.
I'm not sure I want to hear this, but go on.
Now, I was talking to Mr. Conspiracy. Now, he's obviously got his thoughts that perhaps it's been released by a lab in Wuhan, possibly by mistake, but it's where he believes that they were making coronavirus as a biological weapon. Anyway, right, so he was telling me this. And then he was talking about the fact that also now governments are going to use it to curb all of our freedoms beyond the disease.
Okay, so
we got into that conversation. And at the end of the conversation, because a lot of it I was sort of going, oh, right, yeah, 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 all right. But then I offered my theory, and I think mine's a much better theory.
Go on then, let's hear it.
I think that this is Mother Earth, Mother Nature, taking control back.
And your proof for this strange theory?
Well, it's not a strange theory, right? Listen, I'll tell you what, I'm going to win you over with this.
Go on.
Now, some would argue that it's Mother Nature killing people off because the world is overpopulated. I'm not going to go that far. Obviously, there's probably an element of that. But the result of all of this is that pollution in so many areas has gone down so much because A, it's not so many planes are flying. B, in China, obviously China's shut down, so you don't have the factories pumping out stuff. And then the environment and nature will possibly start to thrive again. So you might find that as a result of this, nature takes a bit of control back. So, you know, the Earth's a living... It's a living thing, Ben.
Yeah, but I'm not sure it has a sort of consciousness to it, does it?
It will have a defence mechanism. You know, the Earth will look after itself. Don't you worry about it.
No, I don't think so. I think the Earth is just the Earth, and what happens just happens, and that's just life. I don't think there's any... I don't think the planet is sitting here thinking, how can I take control back? It's, no, it's strange theory.
Look, I'm going to win you over with this, right?
You're not.
I'm not saying that he's thinking that. It will sense that it's dying. You know, we've pushed this planet to the edge. So it you know, like anything, even the tiniest little creature out of instinct will defend itself somehow. And, you know, I think this is planet Earth defending itself.
Right. Okay. I mean, you didn't win me round.
No, I just think you need to think on this a little bit more, mate.
No, you see, when you started this story with Mr. Conspiracy being referenced, I thought all the bollocks would be coming from him. But it turns out you're chiming in with it now.
No. I'd be interested to hear from people that would agree with me on this. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter. Get in touch. I mean, if you're at home and you're listening to this and you're self-isolating, a little light bulb might have just come on. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I might be... I don't want to be a messiah figure.
A messiah figure?
Yeah, it's not what I'm setting out to
you
be.
You really have gone mad in self-quarantine, haven't you?
But what I'm saying is, by default, that's what might be what happens. You know, once we've got through this phase and the Earth has sort of healed itself and people will probably come... You know, bowing at my door, they'll be holding signs up. I'll probably have to be, I might have to be crucified. I don't know.
Well, they won't be coming to your front door. They'll be bowing at your front gate. One other nice story I saw, which was a vicar in Plymouth who did his first live broadcast of his church service.
Well, a lot are doing this. I've got friends who are involved in their churches, and they've all been setting up their live feeds because obviously people can't go and do whatever they need to do in their church. Yeah.
Sadly, though, this one did ever so slightly backfire.
Right.
But I think I think this one ends with a positive note. Really.
They weren't worshipping me already, were they? I mean,
they're not worshipping you yet.
Oh, right.
We're not quite there yet, thankfully. A man called Simon Beach, who was the vicar of a church in Plymouth,
He
set up his own online broadcast of his service. And sadly, during the service, he sort of lost concentration for a minute and leant over candles and... set himself on fire.
Wow.
He wasn't harmed. He was okay. Apparently, I haven't seen the video itself, but it says in the video, Mr. Beach is seen leaning in to deliver the final part of his sermon before exclaiming calmly, "Oh dear, I've just caught fire."
Wow.
Which I think is a very British reaction to finding yourself on fire.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you've got to hope is that nobody threw... the wine over him, because he'd be flambéed, wouldn't he, essentially? And an awful waste of wine in the present circumstances, of course.
Well, yeah, it sounds like we've had enough wasted booze in this podcast. I can't have any more spilled. The other thing that I thought was nice is the fact that this obviously has made the news, because it's a bit lighthearted and it's quite amusing. But I think it also helps to promote that anyone who is interested in that sort of thing now is aware through the news that actually there are online sermons you can watch, even if you're not religious, if you just want to watch something a bit nice and communal and... peaceful. It's there for you. They're doing that sort of thing. If you want to go and worship somewhere, you can still at least have access via the internet, which I think is a nice story.
You've got very pious all of a sudden, haven't you?
I have. It's, you know, for a Stonewall atheist, I think I can see the nice in this.
But do you know what I think's happened here, Ben? And you're not seeing it at the moment. I think you're waiting for those biblical scales to fall from your eyes to see the whole truth here, Ben. But what's really happened is in the last few minutes... I have unearthed within you a spiritual awakening, which is leading you towards searching for a messiah figure.
And, you're not going to drop this, are you?
As we've already discovered, It could be right here. Like I say, I'm not setting myself up as that. I'm just saying that that's the way it could go. And, you know, maybe within you, that little seed and that little doubting Thomas within you has just had a little moment, a little, what's that thing, you know, a Damascus Road experience?
Yeah. So the silver lining to the coronavirus cloud is that we've found the second coming. The bad news is it's you.
So as I mentioned at the start of the podcast, I've been self-isolating like a lot of people, finding myself at home, unable to go out. And the lucky thing for me is I'm able to do a lot of my work from home. So I've still been able to do work this week, which has been good.
Yep.
But it's also given me time to crack on with some stuff in the house. So painting, I had a lot of painting that needed to be done.
Okay.
And the thing about it is, I felt if I was going to be put out of action at all in this period of self-isolation, it would be the virus itself. The thing that put me out of action this week was a painting-related injury.
A painting-related injury? What have you done?
Basically, I've been doing a lot of skirting boards, right? Okay. So it involves crawling along the floor a lot.
Yep.
And I'm not sure how I've done it, but I've managed to really hurt my foot. Now, I don't know how many people can injure themselves painting, but I seem to have managed it. And it put me out of action for 2 days where I couldn't walk.
So you didn't really bash it against anything. It's just the act of crawling has injured you.
I think it was just the act of crawling. I don't know if I twisted it, but I woke up the next day after doing a whole load of this skirting board stuff and my foot was swollen. I put it down on the floor and the pain,
ooh,
I don't think I've experienced much pain like it. It was absolutely excruciating, the language that came out of my mouth. And now the hatred I have for these skirting boards as a result of that.
Yeah, I mean, not many people hate the skirting boards, but I think you've got good reason.
I hate them. And it's put me in a really grumpy mood, not just at the skirting boards, but I really lost my temper with a tap this morning.
A tap?
Yeah, I couldn't stop it dripping. And it was only a little drip, but it was really pissing me off. And after about 5 minutes of trying to work out why it was dripping, I lost my rag. I was calling this tap every name under the sun. I mean, it felt good. It felt so good calling this tap up.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I've stopped it dripping now. I mean, it was either it heeded my advice. Again, some sort of ability I have to talk to inanimate objects.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus walks on water. You stop dripping taps, but carry on.
It's my first miracle. Write that down, because you're obviously going to have to write the first book of the new Bible. Is this all blasphemous, by the way? Am I going to go to hell for any of this?
I think that ship has sailed.
But you can write the Book of Benjamin will tell the story of how Trev the Messiah rose. And that's my first miracle, stopping the tap. I don't know what I did to stop it dripping. I think perhaps I just tightened it a bit more than I had before.
Right,
but
there you go. I'll do it.
It felt miraculous. But yeah, so I was out of action for 2 days this week in self-isolation, but actually the problem was my foot. And the thing about it is, it's made me realise that obviously in our last, when we were last on the radio, I would talk endlessly about the 3 days I did painting and decorating and was absolutely shit at it.
Yeah.
So even something like painting, I'm just so, it really annoyed, like the brush won't do what I want it to do. And the worst thing was, I was told by the person who's been helping me out with the room, when I said, oh, look, I'm self-isolating, I'll crack on with the painting. They said to me, oh, just be careful when you do the window frames. Don't get any paint on the aluminium window frames, because once it's on, you're never going to get that off.
Right.
I'll tell you now, that didn't go well. I've managed to get any I got on off, I think, with some white spirit and stuff. But it annoys me so much. And people that have said, oh, you know, I find those things therapeutic. It's not therapeutic for me. I get no therapy out of it whatsoever.
Oh, no, it's not therapeutic if you're crap at it. But I can imagine it would be if you were good at it.
Yeah. So anyway, so obviously I had to have 2 days where I couldn't really do anything. So I did a lot of just sitting. And it made me realise the boredom that can come if you're not used to being on your own, or maybe if you're with your family and that obviously the kids are now not at school, and you need to find things to do to pass the time. So I invented a couple of games.
Really? What did you invent?
One is just a very straightforward game. I just called it the Sainsbury's Delivery Lottery.
Okay, how does it work?
Well, it's a very simple game. I don't want you to think there's any complexity to this. All you do is you go on there and just find out if there are any delivery slots available.
Have you won the game yet?
No. But I got a call from my brother yesterday who had won the delivery lottery. He found a slot.
Wow.
So he said, well, I'm ordering some stuff. Is there anything you want? So I've been able to sort of, I've sponged off the lottery winner there.
Yeah, you have.
So that's one game you can play. It's not the most fun game. I wouldn't say it's a game for the family.
No, quite a one-player game.
But the other game is, I haven't got a name for this game yet.
Okay.
But the nice thing about this game is there's a target that you can try and beat every day. So I've devoted an hour every day to this while I've not been able to really move. So, and it's just watching the world go by outside your window. And it's to see how many people are wearing face masks.
Okay.
So the first day, I probably saw, I think it was about 3 or 4 the first day.
Okay.
Now, the second day, I wrote down how many I'd seen. So the second day, within an hour, I saw 6.
Right, okay, so increasing.
And that's when the game really started to take shape. So I thought, ooh, an increase. That's interesting, right? So day 3, I've only done 3 days, but day 3, 7.
The sooner we get you out of self-isolation, the better.
I think my friends are coming to the rescue for this self-isolation thing, because we have a little football sort of chat group on WhatsApp, right? And obviously there's no football at the moment. So what we're going to do tonight, we're all logging on to YouTube. We're all going to be on the group and we're going to watch an old football match in real time.
Oh, that's a nice idea. I like that.
I think the game that's been selected, I don't know from what year, Leeds against Nottingham Forest. We do know the final score, but that's fine. That's fine because there's a lot of goals. I think it was 7-4. So we know that there's 11 goals in the game. And then we'll play our 11s game. The one we've got going at the moment, which isn't influenced by this game that we're watching tonight, is the Animal Dwellings 11.
Okay.
So we've got Warren Barton. we've also got Grant Holt.
Very good.
And the one I came up with that I was very pleased with is Jimmy Mulhill.
Very good.
So anyway, we're going to continue that. So Animal Dwellings 11 is what we're working on. So that's a work in progress. If you've got anything, you can add to that at Trev and Ben on Twitter. That'll be good fun.
Oh, I think I think not just the 11s, but I think if you could also let us know what creative games you and your friends are coming up with to keep each other entertained during this problem we've got, I think send us what the games are as well. I'd love to hear how people are keeping themselves entertained.
Yeah, because next weekend I was supposed to meet up with some friends. About every month or so we meet up and we do a night of good old-fashioned board games.
Okay.
Right, and we normally only play one or two, and they're normally quite complicated strategy games like Escape from Colditz or Ming Dynasty, those sort of games.
Yeah.
So we were due to meet up next week. Now we've said it, we probably can't meet up, so we're trying to work out games we can do on Skype. We're thinking it might be a role play game. That's a possibility.
Okay.
The one I've put forward is Trivial Pursuits, because there's two people in one house, so they can read the questions for us other two in other houses, and they can also read questions for each other. So I think that's a doable game.
Yeah.
But any other thoughts, again, let us know what games we can play on Skype. This is the way we've got to think these days, Ben.
It is.
You know, you can't be thinking about going out. So you've got to think, what can I do and what will work via some sort of technological meetup? Because that's the way we're all going to meet. We're not going to be seeing each other for months.
You've got to make the most of it.
Yeah. The other weird thing I've noticed this week, which has pleased me, is seeing an old school friend on the telly a lot.
Really? Who's that?
He's a guy called Nick Triggle, and he's the BBC health correspondent. And I knew he worked for the BBC, and I knew he did a lot online, but I'd never seen him on telly. I don't think he's ever really done a lot of telly. And then suddenly, because of all this, he's been on a lot. And the first time I saw him, I don't know if it was his first time on, but he seemed very, very nervous. But I've seen him grown in confidence over the days. And the thing, I mean, I'm not still mates with him. We were just mates for a while at school. He wasn't in my class, but we used to get on the same bus. So we used to like meet and chat on the bus and stuff. And the weird thing is, it's amazing how time changes your memories of someone or things, because in my mind and in my memory, he was a very northern kid. He'd come from somewhere up north, and he's not really got a northern accent anymore.
Oh, right.
It's 26 years since I left school, so a long time. When I first saw him on, I thought, oh, this is interesting. He's weird. Well, trouble with coronavirus. Doesn't do any of that. It's amazing. He may never have had a northern accent, but in my head, I gave him a northern accent.
It's a shame that we probably can't find out if he ever did have one.
I'm going to ask my old school friend, who also remembers him, and say, did he have a northern accent, or have I given him a northern accent in my head? Because if I have, that's a strange thing, isn't it?
Yeah, the memory can do strange things. And also, when you've been cooped up in the house, you do start thinking some very strange things.
Have you ever seen anyone on telly that you went to school with? Or anyone famous from your school?
No, I don't think I have. I know, years before I went there, but I think Kate Moss went to my primary school. But
other than really?
That, and I believe me, I don't know Kate Moss. But no one I've known been turned up famous or on the telly or anything, no.
Michael Caine went to my school, not at the same time before you get in with a gag about my age there.
Beat me to it.
The only other person that I know that was famous or is famous that I went to primary school with was Leon McKenzie.
Oh.
Who played for Crystal Palace, Norwich City, I think Peterborough United, and his family were all famous boxers. I think his uncle was his dad was Clinton McKenzie, his uncle was Duke McKenzie, and I was in his we were in the same class at primary school and in Cubs. And the weird thing is, right, and I feel awful about this, but I'll tell you why I feel awful. It's because I hated him.
Really? Why?
I don't want to do him a disservice, but he wasn't very nice to me sometimes.
Okay.
So I didn't like him. So when he became a professional footballer, whenever he scored a goal, I was devastated. I was like, oh. But in recent years, he's had some sort of personal issues. He's talked very candidly about mental health issues. And I think he's turned his life around, and he just comes across as a really nice bloke now. I think he does boxing. So I feel bad that I held this grudge for so long. Do you know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
Well, that's good. I mean, at least you've forgiven him for it now.
Well, you got to in the end, haven't you? You've got to grow up yourself. Do you know what I mean? I'm not putting anything on him here. This was all me. It was all me being just an 8-year-old kid again, thinking, well, you had to go at me in the playground. By which time, we're both in our mid-30s, early 40s now, and I'm still going, well, you were horrible to me in the playground. So, yeah, I think I've grown up a little bit. Again, I think it's the spiritual awakening that's happening inside of me, Ben, as I become the Messiah. I just want to talk about one thing that isn't coronavirus linked at all.
Go ahead.
You know, on Facebook, they have adverts that tend to pop up that are related to what you might be interested in, the sorts of things you look for and that sort of thing.
Based on your searches, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to tell you about an advert that popped up on my Facebook feed this morning.
Okay.
And I want to assure you right now, before I tell you what it is, I want to assure you that I haven't searched for anything like this. I don't know why this has come up on my feed. And also, it's got me slightly worried about, you know, Mr. Conspiracy, when we had him on the podcast?
Yeah.
And he was talking about people spying on us and that sort of thing. I'm a bit worried because basically I had this thing that come up on my Facebook feed that says, we save balls.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah. Trimming the bush with a conventional razor can get ugly. We've got your back and sack with a trimmer that will up your grooming game. No scratches, no danger, just balls as smooth as you are. Now, why is that on my feed? Who has somehow looked at that area and thought, well, yeah, you could do with a trim down there? Do you know what I mean?
That is concerning. I've actually heard of this company before.
Have you?
Yeah, a lot of podcasts I listen to are sponsored by this company.
Balls Trimmers are sponsoring podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, you just gave them a free plug, so feel free to sponsor this one.
Well, yeah, I think they might need to send me some money now and a balls trimmer. Well, there we are for another Trev and Ben podcast. I just want to almost apologise that, you know, last week we did say this will be a coronavirus-free event. But as you said, Ben, at the start, there's not much else we can do.
Not really.
But, you know, hopefully this has been a little break from the kind of scary shit that's on the news all the time.
Yeah, and I would like to share something before we finish that I've had circulated to me on WhatsApp. It's about the NHS.
Oh, yeah.
And it basically reads, during these unprecedented times, the NHS need to know that we're grateful. Please join us on the 26th of March, which will be tomorrow at the time of this podcast coming out, at 8 p.m. for a big round of applause from front doors, gardens, balconies, windows, living rooms, etc., wherever you can do it. And it's to show nurses, doctors, GPs and carers are massive appreciation for their ongoing hard work and the fight against the virus. So I will myself be doing that. I'll look a bit strange because my front door leads onto a tree, so any passers-by will wonder, why am I giving a round of applause to a tree? But I will be joining in nevertheless.
And I've seen them do it in other countries. They've done it, I think, in Spain and I think in Italy as well. France, I know, lit up the Eiffel Tower in recognition of health workers. I know the Wembley Arch was lit up this week in blue in recognition of the NHS. But yeah, we all need to thank these health workers who are, you know, they are putting themselves in the firing line every single day and saving lives.
Absolutely.
So let's do it. So when is it? It's Thursday the 26th.
It's Thursday, March the 26th. So hopefully you're listening to this podcast in time at 8 p.m. Join us. Me and Trev will be doing it too in thanking the brilliant people who work at the NHS.
And even if you're not listening in time for this podcast, we hope that you've probably done it anyway.
Yeah.
So yes, let's do that. And just before you go, just one little bit of good news that I had, COVID-19 related. And it's relieved a lot of my worries.
Let's hear it.
I had an email this morning from Dr. Howard Bernard. And get this, mate. It's a very short email.
Okay.
But it's an amazing thing. It says, you have been chosen to receive a grant of $550,000 from the World Health Organization for the fight against COVID-19.
Well, that's a stroke of luck, Trev.
I know, and all I've got to do is send a reply. They'll give me an email, send a reply to them, and then I'm going to get, you know, $550,000 in my fight against the virus. I mean, I don't know why I've been chosen, but it's an incredible bit of luck for me. I feel very lucky and fortunate.
Yeah, I'd get on that, mate. Make sure you reply straight away.
Yeah. I'd imagine by this week the money will be in my account. I stink.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course it will.
Well, thanks very much for listening and downloading. And do get in touch with us. Let us know what you're doing if you're in isolation, what you're doing with the kids when they're off school. Just get in touch with us. Just let us know what's going on. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter. And just stay well, stay safe, do whatever we're told to do. Let's try and beat this thing together. And we'll catch you again next week. Take it easy.
Bye.